Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliet Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hey, Juliet, welcome back.
Christy Lee, hi, how are you going?
I am going great, thank you. What about you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the weather in Melbourne's really good.
Not so great where I am, but we were just discussing the world has really turned on its head when Melbourne has the best weather in the country.
It's so true. But the sun is shining, so I'm making the most of it.
Absolutely, I would be as well. Fantastic. Now, we've got a really interesting topic to dive into today, and I don't know about you, but this is something that I see particularly business owners, but even people in management and leadership roles within organisations really struggle with sometimes. Is this something you see people struggle with?
Delegation, totally. Mm. I think it's a bit like, you know, do you think you're a good listener? Oh, absolutely. Do you think you're good at delegating? Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. You know?
And I think if you like delegating, I think you tend to think you're good at it.
Good point.
And I think what I see in teams so often is that it has a lot to do with the way we like to work. You know, so people who are big picture thinkers and real ideas people, they love to delegate because they're not finishers. They don't want to do it. They want to come up with the ideas and hand pass it to somebody else, you know, and just let them do the doing. But quite often what happens is the picture they have in their head doesn't necessarily get communicated. So a person can go away and do it, and when they come back, the person who delegated, it's like, that's not what I had in mind at all. But they just haven't communicated enough of it. And I see the flip side of that, which is the person who has so much detail that really they know they could do it better, faster, you know, and keep control of it if they just did it themselves. So they don't really want to delegate it. But when they do, there's this tendency to keep kind of going in and checking and doing that micromanaging.
Yeah. So I think you've touched on some really interesting points there, and that is those big picture thinkers that they don't actually like to do the finishing.
No, they love
to come up with the ideas. They're the ideas people. They've got all the ideas, but they don't want to do it, which is fine if they can clearly articulate to the person they're delegating to what it is that we're trying to achieve, what the outcome needs to look like, what the process needs to look like, and at what points should they be checking in along the way so that it doesn't get to the end result and they say, oh, that's not at all what I had in mind, like you said. Yeah. And I think that's where sometimes those big picture thinkers struggle. They're not so great necessarily at translating what's going on in their mind into clear, concise instructions and enough detail for the person they're delegating to. And I find in organisations that are like that, nothing ever gets finished. There's all these things going on and nothing's ever done or right or complete. And so and that's messy.
Well, I think also because if the leader has that way of working, if they are that kind of big picture thinker and they're not a finisher, then the finishing doesn't actually excite them all that much.
Yes.
They've probably moved on to another idea. So they can keep delegating things because that's not even where they're playing, where their head is.
Yeah.
They've moved on to the next exciting thing, the next exciting idea.
Yeah. And I think this is part of, I'm thinking of the Working Genius Assessment by the Table Group. Yeah. And this is going a little bit off track, but they talk about the fact every organisation needs a mix of different kind of people with different genius zones. Yeah. And when you've got an organisation that doesn't have that mix, that's where things can become really tricky. You need someone to take it and say, I need all this detail to get this done and I'm going to push this to the line because it's the best thing for the business.
And this is a whole other topic, isn't it? We tend to recruit people in our likeness unless we are really conscious about it.
True.
We recruit the people who we are comfortable talking with, who talk in the same way we do and seem to work in the same way we do because they're really comfortable.
Mm.
And if you're a big picture thinker and not a finisher, you're likely to kind of bring in people who are similar, unless you're really conscious that you need finishers.
Yeah.
And are bringing them in deliberately.
Yeah, that's really true.
When you do that, you've then got to be conscious of how you communicate, because you'll drive them mad if you're just sort of handballing big ideas to them and not giving them that clarity around what's expected and what does success look like.
Mm-hmm.
And what does finishing look like?
Yeah. So whilst we're on the topic about big picture thinkers, should we talk about some strategies that big picture thinkers should use in order to be able to effectively delegate and get stuff done? And then we can maybe circle back to our detail-orientated people, which I think sometimes is us business owners who don't want to let anything go, but then the bottleneck becomes always us.
Yeah.
And because they're very different strategies for the two different types of people, aren't they?
Different strategies, yes, absolutely. No, I think that's true. And look, I think, I mean, when we're talking about big picture thinkers delegating, I think there's some really clear things that they can do. And I think one of the key things is making sure the person you're delegating to knows what they're doing, but also why they're doing it. I think so often we forget to tell them why this is important. And without that context, I think that can be really difficult for people.
Absolutely.
A random task without necessarily understanding it's really important because it contributes in this way to the bigger picture. Do you find that?
Absolutely. I think it is the most important thing we have to communicate when we are delegating, because it just helps. It helps to give them the context around where does this fit in this machine that is this business? Because, you know, often it's if one cog doesn't turn, then the next cog can't turn. But you can't see that when you're in a silo. So unless that gets explained to you, and I think with anything, you know, when we're tying a task, a role, or something we're delegating into the bigger picture, people become more engaged from a psychological perspective in how that is going to contribute to the greater good of the organisation or the success of the business or whatever it is. So that knowledge actually helps them to take more ownership and more, so at a psychological level, own that task. So it's not just about going through the motions. It's about having some sort of stake in the success of what they've been delegated.
And I think when they feel that ownership, they derive more satisfaction from it, don't they? They actually feel a sense of satisfaction. They're connected to something bigger than themselves, you know, and they can see how their contribution works all the way down the line, you know, how it contributes to that bigger picture that the organisation is trying to deliver.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I think communicating the why is really important. Mm. And like you mentioned earlier, communicating what success actually looks like in a bit of detail, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I think that is often gets missed with big picture thinkers because it's clear in their head what they want.
Yes.
But they often forget to actually talk about that.
Yeah. And I think on that as well, being available and ready to get questions asked of you as the big picture thinker and be able to answer them. So not dismissing the questions, even though you might feel they're silly or petty or irrelevant, they're relevant to the person that's asking them in their ability to deliver what you need to deliver. And if you're dismissive, you'll definitely get the wrong outcome.
Well, and I think, and this comes back to, you know, everything comes back to trust, doesn't it, in the end? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if we circle that back, when you've got trust in the team, you make it possible for people to do that, to be a bit vulnerable. I was working with a team just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, and a couple of them had come out of quite big government roles, and they were saying it was really not okay to say, I don't know. And so, you know, on day two in the job, they're being thrown things and they can't say, can somebody point me in the right direction? I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing here, or, you know, all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, we need to make it okay for people to come back without us sort of rolling our eyes or looking impatient or typing away while they're asking and throwing a comment over our shoulder sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to really be present to those. And I think the other thing for me is having some parameters in place around what needs to be communicated through this process? I mean, do you need to hear from them every week about their progress and where they're going, or do you not need to hear from them till the end? I think it's always good when you're delegating something for the first time, particularly, to have some milestone check-ins in place to make sure things are on track and heading in the direction you want them to, so that you don't get to the end of the you know, the project or whatever it is and it's all gone off kilter.
I agree. And I think they can be quite short-term ones to start with.
Yeah.
And then when you both realise you're comfortable and they are clear with what's going on, but also that you realise they know what you're trying to get together, then I think you can sort of space them out more. But, yes, I think that's really important to put those in so that they know they have to come back and talk to you about it, you know, before the end point. So you don't all kind of get to the end and go, what happened there?
And I think for the big picture thinkers as well, it's equally important for them because they're quite happy to let go of things. So the letting go is not their challenge, but keeping an eye on where it's going sometimes is their challenge. So this sort of creates that forum for them as the delegator as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true because they're really happy to pass it over and not see it again.
Mm.
So staying in that loop is a really important part of it.
Yeah.
And I think if you feel like that's not going to happen, if you know that this is how you work and that you just don't have the time or the patience to work with someone when you've delegated something, make sure there's someone on your team, I think, that they can go and talk to.
Yeah.
You know, whether you have a 2IC or somebody that people can connect with pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a point somewhere if it's not you, but I think ideally I agree it should be you.
Yeah, especially in the first instance, like you said, when it's early on in the delegation, it is certainly beneficial. But yeah, you're right, someone that is across it and knows where the project's going.
Yes, I think so.
Definitely. What about on the flip side, our detail orientated people? And look, this is probably what I see play out more, especially in small business, because as business owners, we can get reluctant to hand things over, even though we know we are the bottleneck in our business. And then as we grow, that culture kind of gets replicated with our, you know, GMs or ops managers or whoever we've brought in at that 2IC level.
Yeah.
And they can become a little guilty of it as well. And yes, we could do it faster, quicker, more efficiently. But if we do everything, nothing's going to happen. There's going to be no growth. We have to be prepared to let someone do it a little slower. Yeah. And still get it done and that be okay, right?
Totally, yeah, I think so. And look, I think when with this style of working, again, I see so often the context gets lost because there tends to be this drive to get something done. So you're handing over something and this is how it has to happen and this is, and you tend to be really good at the detail around what's expected, but often not terribly good at explaining where that fits in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And why, the why again can get really lost. So people are off doing lots of things, but not necessarily understanding why and where that fits.
And even what the end goal is. They can be busy doing what the tasks, but they're not sure actually where they're going with that and what the end, you know, the road looks like. I think that's very true. Mm. And I think sometimes the trick, if you find yourself being this person that struggles to delegate, is to pick something really simple that is either repetitive or time-consuming for you and something that's not going to take up a lot of your bandwidth to let go of, something just initially, something that from your own perspective you could let go of a little easier, because if you try and let go of something really, really important to you and critical for the business, you know, when you're not great at delegating, that might be a step too far at first. You've got to get comfortable and, like you said, have that trust. So start small. It doesn't have to be a giant project. It could be just a weekly task that could come off your plate and onto someone else's until you build your confidence with delegating and that trust that actually this will get done and everything's going to be fine, and then go for the biggest stuff.
I think one of the key things you can do to start this process is delegating things like running the weekly team meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're bringing somebody in a sort of leadership role, getting them to take on things like that where you have complete visibility of how they do it. You can give them feedback straight after the meeting. You're involved in the process. So you get that confidence. You can build your confidence that it's okay
Mm-hmm.
But you give them something to really get their teeth into, you know, so that they're starting to get some responsibility. Because I think when we delegate, particularly to people who, you know, we bring in good people, we want to use them the best way we can, is delegating not just the task, but that's, yeah. you know, the responsibility for getting it done.
Yeah, the ownership. The
ownership of it, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So often we forget to do that. We can hang on to the ownership of it.
Yeah.
We just kind of push out little bits because that's more comfortable.
And you've got to think of how that feels to the person you're delegating to as well. Yeah. They don't feel trusted because you're not giving it all to them. Yeah. They kind of feel like they're kept small, and it will ultimately stop them from doing as much as they could in your business, because they'll always feel like they can't ask for more, or you know, you won't give them more. So it is actually inhibiting them being able to be their best in your business when you do that. And I think the trap that we often fall into is we give it over, but then we are so micromanaging of it all that they just think, oh, there's no point. You may as well just do it yourself, because every time you meet with them, and you're meeting with them way more often than you need to at the time, you're like either nitpicking, or you just need so much intel from them that it becomes, you know, difficult for them to actually do the task. So unlike our big picture thinkers, where we have to get them to do the milestone meetings,
yeah.
our detailed people, we need to maybe get them to step back from as many milestone meetings as they might like to have.
I think so. And I think when you hand over responsibility for the task, you can let go of how they do it.
Mm.
Because everybody's going to do things differently.
Yeah.
And expecting people to do it exactly the way we do it is just, it's a recipe for disaster, really, isn't it? Because no one's going to be satisfied by that process. So there has to be a bit of letting go of the process of how it happens.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think from, you know, whichever type you are as the delegator, there's still some key things. Tying it into the why, explaining what success looks like in enough detail that they know what they're reaching for, and having some milestone, you know, meetings or catch-ups or check-ins along the way are all important, as well as delegating responsibility and not just task.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
I think they're critical points. And look, I think it's so easy to forget that and to slip back, you know, into just the way we like to work.
Yeah.
But I think if you can just keep those at the front of your mind when you start delegating, it's like all these things. It's a bit like a muscle we need to strengthen and get comfortable.
Yes. So, yes.
You know, I think
I totally agree.
Yeah. So it's about practicing it, isn't it? And just kind of trying it out. And as you say, just delegating little things if you're not sure, and having a go at it, and strengthening that muscle around trust, and around feedback. You know, because if it's not working, are you giving appropriate feedback?
Yeah.
Helpful feedback, you know, thinking that through as well.
Constructive feedback. We could do a whole episode on constructive feedback, possibly. That's a whole other topic. But yeah, I think, you know, in any business, your ability to delegate effectively really dictates your ability to grow and flourish. And if you're being held back by not delegating, things are either not getting done or they're only getting done by you. And either way, that's not how businesses need to work. So we do have to get comfortable with it, and we have to be self-aware enough to know where our challenges are and how we need to be conscious of approaching this in order to make it really effective in our businesses.
Yes. And I think if we can build that trust in the team, this is an area where we can ask for feedback, you know, and we can ask our team, okay, so I'm new to this delegation thing. I'm a bit uncomfortable with it. So how's this going? Are you getting enough information? Am I crowding you? You know, I'd really love to know. And getting a little bit vulnerable ourselves so that we can build that self-awareness, I think, can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable, but really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to be prepared to be a little bit vulnerable and uncomfortable, because we want our staff to feel like they can as well. So we're leading by example in doing that.
I think so. Yes, absolutely. Seeking it out.
Mm. Excellent. Well, that was a great chat, Juliet. Thank you.
Love it.
Another great topic.
Yes, perfect. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.